G'day everyone, it's Ian here. Welcome back to my little Booniverse. A few audio boos ago, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I told you about discovering that the doorway into the workshop where I did my apprenticeship didn't exist, despite my very, very perfect memory that it did exist, and how devastated I was to realise how incredibly faulty my memory was. Such an exact situation where my memory was faulty, and how rattled I was by that. I've had another little incident happen over the over the weekend, and it was a really interesting. I caught up with a friend, Angela. I haven't seen her in a couple of years. Knew her 20 or so years ago, bit of a skydiving buddy. And I was talking to her, and I said, well, Angie, you know, you were about 25 when you hooked up with Brian, husband. And she said, no, I wasn't. I was 22 when I had my daughter. I was about 19 when I got with him. And I went, and for a moment there, I wanted to argue with her because I was right. And I've had that feeling again, that feeling of I'm in error. My memory is incorrect. But it only took a moment for me to realise that, of course, she's going to be correct. You know, she's going to remember those dates far better than I am. So immediately I had to relinquish that idea that I was correct. But in that process, over that next, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 seconds, I could feel my mind struggling with having to rearrange itself, not wanting to let go of that idea, that concept, that memory, not wanting to allow truth to be my new paradigm. It's interesting, several days later, now I have absolutely no problem with it. But at the time, that rejigging, if that's what you want to call it, was actually very, very difficult. And I could feel myself struggling with it. Struggling? It's hard to describe. It's almost as though there was a doorway, and one door had to be shut and another door had to open to let the new concept come through. And it required a bit of effort just to shut one door and open another door. But sometimes it's not as simple as what I just described to you. Sometimes it can be a deeply held belief, a concept of reality that's existed for a long time. There was some research that was done recently that showed that people with strong political views, when they're asked about their views, then if they're given a challenge of changing their opinion on another topic, they actually have great difficulty in adapting. It's because something's going on within the brain, within the mind, that sticks you to your paradigm. And then when you are asked to change, it's actually very difficult. And if I was to continue with my analogy, I think sometimes those doors have got pretty rusty hinges and they don't want to be moved. I think for some people, the hinges are actually welded and the door is screwed open. It doesn't want to go anywhere. And in order to actually move it, you might have to rip it off its hinges and reconfigure it, maybe blow the whole door frame out. I think readapting to new situations is a bit like that. I think really serious situations, like imagine being in Singapore in 1941, end of 1941, fall of Singapore. Here you are, minding your own business, and all of a sudden the Japanese troops move in. Your entire paradigm is going to shift, and you're going to find it quite difficult to adapt. I think that's probably why a lot of people have post-traumatic stress disorder, don't they? They have always had a particular way of doing something, and then all of a sudden they get broadsided in life. We've all had lesser or greater versions of this. Every time we get a shift in our dynamics, we have to deal with things like this. We have to reassess, reevaluate, work out a new way to live our life. Relationship breaks downs, deaths, unexpected unemployment, any new workplace, there's going to have to be some new adaptation that has to kick in. And I think that adaption is made more difficult if you have very strong opinions. And I think opinions are very closely tied to ego. If you have a sense of self that demands that you are correct, well, then when you find out that you're not correct, you're going to deny the obvious. You're going to have somebody who can argue tooth and nail, write equations, show you references, background documentation, it doesn't matter, and you will still argue against it. And that's where I often hear the term, well, that's what I believe, which is a really interesting concept, because belief in itself doesn't mean it's correct. Belief just means that that is a strongly held opinion. And I think opinions are really dangerous if they're held on to too tightly. For some time, for many years actually, my goal has been to hold my opinions very, very loosely. Yes, I do have opinions. I like to say I don't not believe in anything. It's not quite a double negative if you actually sit down and think it through. I don't not believe in anything, meaning that there are some things I actually don't know if they're true or not, but I'll give them the possibility. I'll cut them some slack that maybe they are possibly correct. I don't know if they are or if they're not. Something probably isn't true, but hey, maybe it is. Maybe I haven't got the information yet. And if I'm going to don't not believe in anything, there could be fairies at the bottom of the garden. It's just that I haven't yet seen any evidence of that. So I will hold my opinion that there is no fairies at the bottom of the garden very lightly, because who knows, somebody might come along one day with quantifiable proof that there is, and I will want to be able to drop that idea and adapt to the new paradigm as quickly and easily as possible. It's been an interesting process doing that for many years now. For many years, I've been holding that idea whenever I have to have a discussion with somebody. And I get caught out sometimes. My petty little ego gets in the way and it wants to rally and fight and defend. And I have to continually remind myself, using mindfulness techniques, that one again, it will keep coming up, to basically just sit there and purposefully listen and don't be judgmental. Don't immediately dismiss an idea out of hand. Hear it through. And then come back with my retort, my inquiring questions, wanting to know more. Is there some more significant background that I can learn from? I've used the analogy of I hold my opinions like holding a wet cake of soap. Next time you're in the shower, try it. Get a really wet cake of soap and hold it in your hand. And if you tilt your hand a little bit and you've got a loose grip, it'll just slide out of your hand. And if it's a really wet cake of soap and it's starting to go a bit soft, and if you hold it really firmly, it'll actually fire out of your hand. If you hold it too firmly, you can't hold it. If you hold it too loosely, you can't hold it. But opinions are like a wet cake of soap. If you just cup it gently, it'll just sit in your hand effortlessly. That's how I want to hold my opinions, like a wet cake of soap, so that when somebody comes up to me and gives me a complete wild idea, I just go, yeah, okay, let's talk about it, let's share the idea with me, and maybe there's some merit in what you say. And I'll tell you something, since I've been doing that, in case, I can't think of any specific case, but I know there's been several situations where it's been a pretty wild idea, you know, far out left field somewhere, and very, very easy to dismiss quickly. And if I remember to just hold my center and listen to them, I still might think that the idea is a wild idea and it's not, you know, valid. But what has happened several times is there'll be a gem, there'll be a nugget buried in that conversation that I didn't expect. May not be specifically about that topic, but it might be about, say, the way of thinking about that topic, an alternative view on the whole general concept and the process. it has paid off several times to just keep my petty little ego in a box and sit there with my opinions held very gently and allow the concepts to be shared with me. When I had this experience in the weekend with Angela, and I felt my neurological memory pathways, if that's what you want to call it, trying to reconfigure themselves, you know, closing one door and opening the other, and, you know, these were doorways that had never been used in a very long time. It was all a little bit awkward, and pain isn't quite the right word, but there was enough discomfort that I can see that if you put a big dose, I've done this plenty of times in the past, a big dose of ego on top of it, you don't want to go through that awkwardness. You want to defend your argument. You want to make sure that the paradigm remains the same. That's how I've seen it play out for me in my past. But as I mature and get a little bit older, and I test some of these ideas, and I stay aware like I did on Saturday, and I felt the shift and observed it, I thought, wow, there's something really powerful here to just drop my ego, let it change, experience something different, and learn from it all. And often I learn new things from people who share ideas with me that I wouldn't have necessarily considered in the past. That's one of the great things about listening to all the different folk on Audioboo. I'd never had a concept of freezing rain, and I've had it described to me now, how freezing rain works. It was a paradigm shift for me. Like, how can you have rain that freezes? Well, in Canada lately, that's exactly what's been happening to them. And Slandy mentioned freezing rain. And it's good to have that explained to me and understanding it. And even though it doesn't make sense, by taking the time to let people explain it to me, I get the idea. I've been mulling this over lately. Yeah, I think it's worth for me to keep my ego in its box and try and stay in the centre and observe myself when I see my opinions being challenged, and remember that, like a wet cake of soap, it's worth holding very, very gently. Good night, everybody. Talk to you next time, eh? Thanks for being there. Bye-bye.